Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to our mates at King G. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
G'day everybody, hope you're enjoying your Easter break. Not even halfway through the long weekend. Wherever you are, just sit back, enjoy, and let us do the work, because we don't bundy off here. We're dedicated professionals. I'm surrounded by them. Ryan Girdler, Brent Reed, who is looking at me still on his phone.
What's so good work to see.
Is that called working the phones, Reedy?
Yeah, that's called working the phones.
Really? Because you haven't got to read his mail yet?
No, I found some. Have you? It was a scramble, but we got there in the end.
Last second. And Mark Geyer is with us as well. How are you, MG?
Fantastic, Tone. How's yourself, brother?
I'm very well. Looking forward, obviously, tomorrow, the Easter egg hunt. I'm a bit competitive with the Easter egg hunt, so I tend to hide the places where the kids can never find them. Just because, you know, you want it, right? It's too easy.
It's so good if you hide them in really good, like, obscure places, and you find them a few months later. It's like, what a bonus. Yeah. I remember that one.
Exactly right. A little stale, but they're still pretty good. So much football already and so much to come. There's some issues coming up. I just want to get the results of these games. Obviously, the Rabbitohs and the Bulldogs, 38 points to nil. We had the Panthers and Manly, 46 points to 6 in that game. And, of course, the Storm over the Broncos, 40 to 6. We're going to get very soon. We're going to chat with Graham Annesley later in the program. But there seems to be a bit of the great divide going on. We're going to get there next. Four tries to Ryan Pappenhausen. That is just an amazing performance. Gerds, do you ever score four tries? Probably in junior footy plenty of times?
No, I can't remember. No, never at top senior level.
Mm-hmm.
No,
not well, four. That surprises me, Gerds. You're a try scoring machine.
Actually, in that Origin game when I was able to score a few
32
points.
32 points.
Oh. Yeah, I was in the clear that? And Brecon Morley was coming across and he passed it to someone and he sort of cut me out with an overhead sort of pass when he could have given it to me clean. But anyway, I've got to let that go. I've got to let that go, Noddy.
Don't look at me, Tony.
I
was lucky to get four in a year, let alone four in a game. I think I've 13 tries in my whole career.
Did you ever get a double MG?
Yes, I got a double once. Okay. I've got a double one. I think maybe playing for Balmain in 93.
Was there a bit of fist pumping going on when you went over the second time?
It was a bit of the big show. Yeah, that was in Penrith. When we came back to Penrith, we had a little bit of a try celebration type thing. But yeah, it was, that performance from Pappenhausen last night, I haven't seen many better than that.
We will chat with him very shortly. Absolutely brilliant performance. You were saying that you don't care about the records, although a little bit just before we came on, Ryan Girdley, you were talking... talking about Nathan Cleary, and that your name may well disappear from all the boards.
Yeah, absolutely. Out there. What a wonderful night he had the other night on Thursday. And, we saw last year, I think, the development of, you know, one of the best players in the game, and I kind of thought, well, is that the plateau? Is that where he's going to get to? And where, you know, what's his next year going to look like? Yeah. And, gee, he started well. He was impressive the other night. Oh,
that little kick inside off balance was just next level, wasn't it?
I love the way he takes. He's constantly taking on the line.
Yeah,
I've never seen confidence. I haven't seen many halfbacks run the ball as much as he does.
Yeah,
he's constantly testing the defensive line.
What impressed me the other night, like the game was well and truly over, and he probably felt like in the first half he hadn't contributed as much as he would have liked to, or in the ways that he would have, and mentioned his running game, and then he just started running late in the middle to the late of that second half, and he just took that team to another level.
We are going to speak with Ryan Pappenhausen. Graham Annesley is going to join us. We'll talk about the state of the game with him. Jai Arrow as well. It is a huge dance card we're about to fill. There was probably six teams that had a shot at winning this thing or going far deep into the competition. And there was a bit of a have and have not situation. The problem with now is, though, that the gap between the best sides in this competition and those that are also around is vast. The scorelines of the three games we've had so far this weekend kind of indicate it, and it's not alone. Games can be fairly even for the first 20 minutes, but then once the dominant team gets going, the other team seems to fall over. In the old days, is it the rules? In the old days, if you're a scratchy kind of team, the idea was to probably bring the other team back down to your level. You could slow the game down, do all those things that are ugly and dirty, but at least stay in the game. What do viewers want? Are they wanting to watch fast, open rugby league, or are they wanting to watch a contest? Mark Geyer, what have you made of it?
Well, I think the Dogs did that yesterday, Tone. They tried to unsettle the Rabbitohs in any, every way, shape and form. They tried to muscle in on them. They tried to up-tempo it, but they just didn't have the calibre of player. And look, it's a concern when you, in a sporting contest, when it's a fait accompli before the ball's been kicked off. And yep. Them three games yesterday, or on Thursday and two games on Friday, were basically fait accomplis before the game was even started. We knew that Penrith were going to beat Manly. We knew that the Dogs were going to get beaten by South, and we knew that the Storm are going to beat Broncos, and that's a worry. That is a worry when you've got, like, I was home for the second game last night, the Storm, after we called the game at Stadium Australia, and I must admit, I kind of watched the Pappenhausen frenzy, and then that was it. I got off the lounge, I went out, I did other things that got me not watching the game, which is very rare for me. Once I sit down and watch footy, I'm usually there for the 80 minutes, but I just couldn't. Not when it's such a one-sided contest. I'd be interested to see what the ratings are like from last night.
You've hit the nail on the head, Tone. You know, you look at the different rosters and everyone. Remember how the Sharks sort of won the premiership in 15 and 16, how they, you know, they used to drag teams down into the gutter. You look at their roster and they intimidated people that came their way, and that was, their game was built around that. Now, it looks to me like the NRL now have built a game around what suits the best team with the best run ball players and the most skillful players and whatever it may be, because apparently that's what the fans want to see. But unfortunately, that, you know, with a team like the Bulldogs, they go out there yesterday, and as MG said, they really tried to unsettle the Rabbits, and they did it for a period. The concern about that game is the fact that Wayne Bennett sits at the press conference after the game. They've just won 38-0, and he wasn't happy with their continuity and their discipline.
Yep.
So that he would, I don't think he's even taken the scoreboard into consideration, but as a fan, you are. You're sitting there and you sit and watch the first 20 minutes and the game's over. You turn off. You lose interest. And that's a real concern for the game moving forward, because you can't have every team playing the same way, because then, if that's the case, the teams with the best players are going to win. And if you have a team that, a good team that has an off day, like I thought Penrith were okay on Thursday night. I thought they obviously had a big week the week before where they played Melbourne, a massive game. Probably took a lot out of emotionally and physically. They went into that game and probably didn't get out of second gear against Manly, still won by 40 points, and weren't challenged really by Manly on a day where, you know, Manly should have been able to unsettle Penrith and get under their skin a little bit and maybe win without having the same, you know, talent through their roster.
Yeah. Is it the rules, Reedy?
I think it's partially the rules, because I think the rules now, if you're not a good team, you're not one of the better teams, you just can't wrestle the game back. You can't get the momentum. You can't shift the momentum. You know, when two good sides play each other, the momentum shifts because the good teams know how to grab it back and yep. regain control of the game. The bad teams now, they can't do it. They don't have the players to do it. They don't have the talent. They don't have the resolve. They don't have the resilience to do it. And I think the other thing we're learning right now is in terms of players, and you know, we're talking about expansion at the moment. Mm. Where are we getting the players from for a 17th and 18th yeah, team? They're not there.
That's got to be put on the back burner, surely. I was always a big I love the thought of expansion. I thought, you know, the Western Reds could come in with another team in Brisbane. But looking at these games, these first three games of the weekend, you've got to say that expansion's a long way off. We can't field 16 competitive teams, let alone 17.
Well, what do we make it? Was it Wayne Bennett who said in his press conference about, you know, they've each got the same salary cap? Yeah. And so there's a contest there. But why is there such a massive difference?
It's always been the same, though,
difference?
Tony, because there's only one way there seems to be only one way you can win these days. And that's the problem. The rules are now only allowing the teams, you know, with the ball in play and with, you know, fatigue through the middle and those guys with the skillful attacking sets, and that's their focus. They run away with the game, where there's no other ways that you can win the footy games for some of these teams that don't have those talented rosters. Just to, you know, be gritty and find a way and upset and slow the game down and hold people down. And I mean, a lot of people complained that they didn't want to see that in our game because they didn't want the wrestling. I agree to an extent, but it just feels like the pendulum swung too far in favour of the teams with the better rosters and taken out the opportunity for those other teams just to find ways to win, and good coaches that coach those sides. You know, you got Dez there and Trent Barrett. These guys looking for answers at the moment, knowing that if things don't change, they're going, you know, both those sides play some good opposition next week. What can they change about what, I'd ask you, MG, because we called that game yesterday, what can the Bulldogs change about the way they went about their business against South Sydney next week when Who do they play? I think they play another a pretty good side.
They've got to be more creative. They've got to. They've just got to look like they.
But look at their roster.
They had ten times. They had the ball 5 metres out from South's line. They never look like scoring a try. They just never look like scoring, and I think South knew that. And
they play the Storm next week. What can they change?
Well, they can't do anything. And Trent basically, you know, I asked Trent Barrett after the game about, you know, what's the answer? And he said, I know the answer, but this is not the forum for it. And I think what he's basically saying is, and I don't know this, this is just me guessing, he doesn't have the players. They don't have a six. They don't have a one.
They don't have a nine.
I mean, they've got holes everywhere in that roster.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of money to spend next year. They're obviously bringing in Matt Burton, who's going to be a great signing for them, Matt Burton, from what we've seen. I mean, you know, they're buying Josh Adokar's coming. They're looking at Josh Adokar potentially as a fullback. They still don't have a nine. I mean, you know, I think I don't think there is an answer for them this year.
I tell you what, I throw it. That's 3 weeks in a row they haven't scored any points. If Trent Barrett doesn't have grey hairs in the next few weeks, he's using product.
And he's an attacking guru.
Clear roll.
He's the attacking savant, right? At Penrith, he was the man who turned their attack and turned it into something special. And he just hasn't got the cattle.
Can we just go back to that? But why is there such a... If we are talking about the same man in the salary cap, why is there such a, you know, the difference between those at the top and those at the, in terms of quality of roster?
Well, it's an art form, Tone. Yeah, the recruiting is an art form, and the good clubs do it really well. You know, Melbourne do it really well. You know, I've heard a lot of people this week talk about Manly and their salary cap, and how it's been out of shape because they've paid Tommy and Jake and Daly too much money. Melbourne, for a decade, paid three blokes a lot of money, right? And it worked. So I don't agree with that argument. I think the issue for Manly is they paid three guys a lot of money. One of them's injured, and the other two aren't playing great. Yep. And everyone around them's not playing great either. That's the problem. It's not that they paid those guys a lot of money. But recruiting's an art form, and the good clubs do it really well. And the bad clubs, what happens is they invariably get themselves in this cycle, this cycle where they chase success, they chase the wrong players, they overpay them. You know, the West Tigers have done it for a decade. They've got their salary cap all wrong because they've chased success and they've panicked. And Canterbury got to be really careful right now. They don't panic. And they don't spend money, throw money at guys. You know, Corey Allen's a little like that. They bought Corey Allen and, you know, Corey hasn't really turned out to be the fullback they thought he'd be. And that was a bit of a panic buy for me. And I think they've got to be really careful, Canterbury, right now, that they don't panic. They've got to make good decisions.
Don has called 133353. G'day, mate. You there, Don?
I think it's Dan.
Oh, is it Dan? It is Dan indeed. Yeah.
How are you?
How are you, Dan? Just waiting for this right call.
Yeah, exactly. I was throwing him in a bit of a rope. How are you, Dan?
Yeah, all good, boys. Listen, fellas, I think you're missing the point on what's actually happening in the game, because the rule changes, the coaches haven't, some coaches have adapted and some coaches haven't. The game's so fast now where you have to defend with your six again where you don't stop and get a penalty. You have to defend one set, then two sets. In the South game the other night, there was three sets in a row that they got without a break. The boys aren't, you know, racehorses. They're not conditioned to that, and they haven't caught up to the speed of that yet. So the rule changes are the things. It's not that they're not trying. It's not that they're, you know, not capable. They're just gassed. These players are gassed. You're seeing front rowers score. You're seeing, you know, halfbacks running the ball. The fullbacks don't do the work in the game that the forwards or the middle players do. They're not up and down off the ground. They're having a party out there, and it's not going to change. You're going to keep seeing big scores because of the rule changes that have been applied.
All right, nice contribution. Thank you, Dan, if that is indeed your real name. I'm still thinking it's Don.
Again, it's the rule changes affect every team. They're not just like the rule changes don't just affect Manly, Canterbury and the Broncos and Cowboys. Manly the other night, and it's one of the worst things you can say about rugby league team, they play without any soul. They didn't want to be there. And it's round four. Like, man, you're asking your fans to come out in the cold, windy, you know, rainy afternoons, and the players don't want to be there. And that's a real worry at Manly. That's a real worry.
Who's that a reflection on, MG?
Well, it's got to be a reflection on everybody. When Jake Trbojevic is talking to the team at halftime, and then when Penrith score and Jake Trbojevic is talking to the players on the field and only two of them are listening to him, the other 11 are looking away. That's a problem. That's a major problem with one of our major clubs in Sydney who have just don't want to be there, and it's round four. Put some kids in there who want to be there. In other words, because that first grade team wasn't up to the caliber. I'm sorry, but you know you got Jakey Trbojevic trying his ass off every week. Daly Cherry Evans, man, you know all this heat going on Milford, and and was on Ben Hunt, well, surely DC has got to come under some heavy scrutiny because some of the tackles he missed and some of the options he went with for you know, potential Australian halfback. Well, Nathan Cleary's playing rings around him at the moment. If Australian team was picked tomorrow, he would have been the 17.
Yep.
On form.
Yeah, fair bit of pressure on Tommy Trbojevic coming back. I mean, not this week, but the week pressure, after. But he's not going to change everything completely, is he? Joey has given us a call as well. G'day, Joey.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, good. What are your thoughts?
I think maybe, like, with recruitment and stuff, younger players, they just want to go to a winning club or a winning culture. So recruiting for, say, for example, the Melbourne Storm, the Roosters, South, it's not so hard to recruit. You got clubs like the Bulldogs who wants to go play for them or whatever. So I think we should introduce a draft system and player trades when it comes to the NRL now, because the teams at the bottom are going to be stuck at the bottom for a long time if the NRL don't start helping them with draft systems and stuff like that.
Rudy, any chance of the draft?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
The players don't like it.
I don't think there'll be a draft. You know, we'll have a trade window, I reckon, potentially from next year, maybe the year after. But you can find a way out. I mean, look at the Gold Coast right now. You know, yeah. They made a big splash with Dave Fifita, but they signed Tino, who's been outstanding for them. They found Jamal Fogarty. I mean, they're not out of the woods yet, but things are looking up for them. There is a way out of it. You've just got to be smart, be patient, you've got to make the right decisions. And that's the hard, because sometimes you think you're making the right decision and down the track it turns out to be a shocking one.
Well, you can spend a lot of money on people that come out of good systems, and when they get to you, you can be a little bit disappointed. And that's what I think, you know, is happening at the moment with, we're going to talk about Adam Reynolds later with the Cowboys. You know, Adam Reynolds is a fantastic player and he's had an amazing last couple of years and he's been great for South Sydney. He's got some pretty good players around him. He's got Cook there at 9. He's got Luttrell at 1. He's got Walker at 6.
Yep.
So, you know, he steers a little general. He steers him around the park and his kicking game's always outstanding. He comes up with some big plays every now and again when he's needed. But, you know, you put him in a boiler suit and you send him up to the Cowboys without that sort of support for a couple of years, and he's going to know at the back end of his career that, you know, it's maybe not as fun every weekend. So he's got a big decision to make around that as well.
I was going to say Newcastle is another good example of a team that was in the doldrums a few years ago and now things are looking promising for them. You know, they made a big splash with Ponga, got it right.
Yep.
Got Piercy up there, and Piercy's been pretty good for them. You know, Jaden Brayley's going to be an outstanding signing. So there is a way out. You've just got to make the right calls, as I said.
We're going to be joined by the four-try hero himself, Ryan Papenhuyzen. Congratulations, mate.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, four tries in 11 minutes. Not a bad little effort. Have you scored four tries in your career in footy before?
I think I've scored 5, and that was in SG Ball. So it was a little while ago, but
well, you must be disappointed with last night then.
I had nothing left in me. I walked in there at half time. I was about to fall asleep. I was buggered.
Oh, you're fantastic form. I mean, they missed you last week against the Panthers, and as Tony said last night, 4 tries, 26 points, 251 metres, 9 tackle busts, 3 offloads, 1 try assist, 2 line breaks, 2 line break assists. My goodness. You were on. I think the thing about watching you, Ryan, is the fact that you want to be in the game all the time. You just want to be there. And never more evident last night, and you're backing up Justin Olam down the middle, and you come out of nowhere. That was a fantastic game last night, which is, you know, obviously you're on fire.
Thank you. It's, I wasn't playing too well early on, so I just thought I'd try to get myself back in the game at what I'm good at. Luckily enough, a few line breaks, and I just got in the end of them, so... it's quite funny because I was pretty down in the dumps early, but just a few involvements and I sort of got myself back into it. So, I got lucky, but I just had to sort of get back in the game somehow, and a lot of the boys got me back into it.
It was an interesting start by both teams, Ryan, wasn't it? A lot of drop ball early. It was pretty sloppy. Bellyache wasn't happy. He was storming around the box early. Once you guys got it together and clicked into gear, it must have felt pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty frustrating early on. Obviously a bit slippery, the ball, and we sort of speak about completing, and especially now this year, it's a massive part of playing well. You see the teams who do well, they complete really high, and we've seen that. Once we got over that slow start, I think we went 10 from 10 sets and put 24 points on. So we just had to get back to that, but I think early we were just a bit excited, wanted to play really expansive, but once we figured out the key to it, we just sort of did that. The points started to come, so that's probably the lesson from last night is just going back to that sort of footy, and you're not trying to create opportunities going hard, and then they'll present themselves.
Ryan, we were talking about the new rules and the speed of the game and the gulf between the good and the bad teams at the moment. What have you noticed about the way the game's changed this year?
Mate, it's so different. It is so different. Like, the first game against South, I didn't really notice it. But then against Parra and then again last night, there's moments throughout the game where you just got to grit your teeth a bit longer than what you used to have to. And I think, yeah, you just got to have people around the ball and going forward. And the momentum is a massive thing. If you can hold on to momentum, definitely goes a long way. And you're probably taking a lot more of the pretty footy out of it. I think it's more just a lot of instinct stuff, a lot of pushing around the ball and taking those opportunities rather than waiting. So that's probably the main difference. But, yeah, it definitely is different to last year even.
And do you notice in that, if you start to get on top, that the shoulders of the other team can start to slump given the speed of the game?
Yeah, definitely. It's a six again call just changes the whole set, and just one of those things. You just got to go back and into the trenches and find something. And luckily enough, we sort of train for that situation. We do those hard pre-seasons, and usually say pre-season training is a lot harder than the games, but they'd probably be on par at the moment.
It would seem made for a bloke with your speed. Like, have you always been quick? What were you like when you were 5'6", do you remember?
Yeah, I think I've always been quick. Mum used to chase me around the house with a wooden spoon. So, I think I learned to get it there. But no, I've always been pretty quick, so it's a pretty handy trait to have.
Speaking of quick, what about Josh Adokar? What was he saying after the game? Did he just dive too early, or he wasn't prepared to go the chase with Xavier Coates?
I did speak to him after. I said, what was doing? You were mowing him down. And he said, mate, I was buggered. I had to make an effort. So, yeah, I don't know. He might have been scared that he wouldn't have caught him in the end. But, he was buggered and tired. And that's just a reflection of the game. It's, as soon as a line break happens after a bit of a grind, it's very hard to chase back and make those tackles.
Friday night, Easter long weekend. What are you boys up to?
We've got the weekend off, so that'll be nice. I'm just down at St Kilda watching some local A-grade cricket at the moment, and then I'll head to the AFLW, the Savo. So, yeah, get the weekend off, which is cool. Might head down the lawn as well with the Mrs. family and, just kick your feet up.
Ryan, what about the business? You do a bit of work on the business? Is it 4 Point Collectibles? Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. We, we're working pretty hard. Whenever I'm not at training, I'm sort of in the office there. So, trading cards and sports memorabilia is what we do. So it's really good hopping on live streams, and a lot of people tune in and we can just chat and, sort of be accessible to people who aren't usually able to do that. So, it's pretty cool. And we've got a lot of Storm fans on there as well. So it's good to chat to them across our live streams and get them involved in sports cards because it's booming at the moment.
Hey, Ryan, I just wanted to ask you about your coach, Craig Bellamy. He had it this week. He was a little bit upset about some claims about tactics that have been employed by the Storm over the years. How did he handle it with you guys during the week?
We didn't really touch on it, to be honest. I remember sort of reading stuff at the start of the week and thought he might say something. But, yeah, it was pretty chilled out. And, yeah, I don't think it was mentioned. So I don't think it's tactics of trying to hurt people or anything. I genuinely think it's a thing across the game at the moment. You can see with the injuries, you get a bit sloppy and fatigued once the game goes on for longer. I think it's just more poor technique. So, I think that's what we'd put it down to.
Hey, Ryan, it's noticeable that, you know, Cam's taken a lot more responsibility on the field. You can just see the way, you know, probably, you know, as he came through as a younger fella, he had so many good influences around him and he didn't need to worry about, you know, certain parts of his game. This year, he looks like he's really concerned about getting those little things right on the weekends. What's his attitude like midweek?
Yeah, awesome. He's definitely come a long way. And like you said, he's had the experience now. I think he's been here for 8 or 9 years, so he's learned a lot, and I think he's starting to really show it in team meetings and speaking up a lot. He's got some pretty interesting ideas at times, but that's the type of player he is. He's, he thinks outside the box, and a lot of the time you got to rein him in. But if you got people throwing ideas out there and genuinely want to make the team better, that's what he's there for, and that's what he's really good at. So he's an X factor, and I'm pretty happy to be playing alongside him.
You're only 22, Pap. Long-term future, Melbourne. About to ink another long-term deal, you reckon?
Yeah, I think my manager's talking through that at the moment, so I'm not too rushed to sort of make a decision. I'm pretty happy with how it's all going, and yeah, I think obviously you can see what Craig's going to do as well, and that'll all be a factor. So yeah, not rushing to a decision. I think I come off contract the end of next year, so let's keep playing well and let that do the talking.
Not in bad shape, the Storm. Kaufusi, Grant, Lee still out injured. To come back in the next couple of weeks, they're pretty good signs.
Yeah, they're all very keen to get back into it. Training very hard. I know Felice has been getting flogged at training lately because he reckons his fitness was down at the start. Yeah, he should have just faked an injury for the 2 weeks. They've been training really hard, and Harry was back in the field last week training, so he's looking good, he's keen, and they're going to be pretty dangerous when they come back.
All right, Ryan, congratulations on an absolutely brilliant performance by yourself last night and for the Storm as well. Thanks so much for having a chat. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, lads. Appreciate it. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, too. Ryan Pappenhausen.
What an impressive kid, eh?
Yeah.
Good bloke. Wow. Cracking bloke.
Blue jersey. What happens?
He's on the bench,
isn't
he?
He's in the 17. In the 17. Yeah.
Got to be in the 17. I was in Newcastle yesterday with my used car salesman brother, Dave. Mm-hmm. I had a bit of a barbecue in the afternoon. It's about 5 to 6. I plonked myself down in front of the television to turn on to watch the Rabbitohs and the Bulldogs. Yeah. Only to see Cody Walker
Friday
being...
6 o'clock game.
Yeah, 6 o'clock game. Oh, this is going to be terrific back-to-back into the 8 o'clock. You know, this is good. Only to see Cody Walker being interviewed post-game. So I missed it completely. Who shoved it early? That's an Easter thing.
Know. Yeah, it must be.
Easter thing. Yeah,
apparently there's a game on Monday too, Tone. Don't
miss
that one.
Yeah. Right, okay. All right. Well, the result was 38 points to nil. The Rabbitohs over the Bulldogs. We've talked about that divide, the great divide that seems to be coming. It was tough. It was a tough day for Trent Barrett, who, as we said, you know, at Penrith, he was kind of the attacking coach, and that's what it was all about. His side hasn't managed to score any points in the past three games. This is what he had to say.
Not too many things went our way, you know, and then losing Lachie Lewis definitely hurt. We were brave again, but unfortunately, as I said last week, brave is not going to be good enough in this competition. Our attack's pedestrian, you know. It is, but we don't help ourselves by these fundamental errors that we're making, you know, in our skill level. And we had two passes over the sideline, forward pass from dummy half, got thrown into touch a couple of times. So that's where we're at. So we'll keep working hard with that.
Brent Reid, you were at that press conference and you pushed him pretty hard as well.
Well, yeah, I suppose just sort of wanted to get an idea of about what's going wrong. And obviously Trent didn't want to talk about it at length in the press conference, probably because it would have reflected pretty poorly on some of his players, but, you know, he wasn't happy. I don't think he was overly happy with me pushing him a little bit on it, but I don't think he was happy in general with the performance. I mean, they were awful, particularly in attack, and that's sort of his area of expertise, I guess. So I can understand his frustration. I just don't think they've got the cattle. I just don't think they've got the players in key positions to put into play what he wants them to. And I think that's the issue he's facing at the moment. And that's the issue he's going to have all season. I guess that's why he's frustrated, because there's no way out.
What do you make of it?
Yeah, I thought they were brave as well. And they struggle. Avarillo's kind of been a bit part six there for the opening couple of rounds. He was injured. So they brought Lachie Lewis. He's a guy that I have a lot of time for, the way that he plays the game. And I think he's a solid defender. He's got a good kicking game with that left foot on that left-hand side of the field. Would have taken a lot of pressure off Cole on the right-hand side, and I was actually looking forward to seeing how that combination worked. That obviously put Meany at the back this week. Hopperwade is another guy that might be an option at some point to go back there, because he just needs more football. He's a really good footy player. Obviously, Allen wasn't doing the job for him. So I felt really sorry for him for the fact that, you know, Lockie went off after about 5 minutes, and they had to move Katoa, who was in for, I think, Marshall King. So he moved out to that left side, and then they brought a young guy on, Dubu, and put him in at number 9. So that just threw their attacking structures right out.
Yep.
But I thought they were brave. They controlled the footy. There was definite signs of frustration there when they just couldn't get the ball over the line, because they got themselves in a good field position. And then they just ran out of ideas up there, and South just defended it so comfortably, because they got a side that, you know, they're full of confidence at the moment. They had a good win last week and just came out and knew that they would score points. Therefore, they were happy to sit with their defence and focus on that, whereas the Bulldogs knew they had to defend well and they had to try and score points, and they hadn't done that for a couple of weeks. So there was some desperation and frustration in there, but as Reedy said, they just They just don't have the talent at this point. They don't have the roster.
Really, what, in terms of Lachlan Lewis, what's going to happen there? Because there was some talk that he should – well, Trent Barrett actually admitted he should have been taken off for an HIA immediately, because when he went down that tackle with Josh Mansour, head in the wrong place, he looked gone.
Yeah, and they'll be asked for a please explain about that by the NRL, because, you know, he should have come off the field. Let's be honest. I think we all acknowledge that, and Trent Barrett acknowledged it. So they'll have to explain what happened there. I'm told that the trainer didn't see the stumble, so that's why he maybe left him on the field. That's what I'm initially told. I haven't heard that from the club. That's what I heard elsewhere. So they'll obviously have the opportunity to explain what happened, and I'm sure the NRL will look pretty closely at it.
Mark Guy, if the attack is wanting, what about the grunt up front?
As everyone just keeps saying, at 25 minutes they competed. They were, you know, Hetherington started on fire. Adam Elliott started really well. Renofa Tony. They have got some calibre of player on the, who are out. Dallin, Martinez, Lesniak. He's suspended till the next round. Luke Thompson, the English import. Josh Jackson didn't play. Marshall King, Fatala Mariner. So they had a good calibre of player out. I just think they can't sustain that pressure for as long as other teams do. And I wonder why for 25 minutes they can, but the first 25 minutes yesterday, it was only 14-0 at halftime and they were still in the game. But they came out in the second half and, again, they tried, but they just didn't have the luster. They didn't have the potency that other teams have got. And I'm a bit like Gerds. I felt for them yesterday. We called this game and, you know, you wanted them to see them score tries and make it an even contest, but they just didn't have it in them.
When they get in those – and they got in the arm wrestle on numerous occasions yesterday, and then you see a guy like Damien Cook who can then just – sees an opportunity, runs 60 metres, Cody Walker's in support, and that just breaks the game open for South Sydney. Now, South Sydney got four or five players that can do that for them when they get into those situations. Unfortunately, at the moment, the Bulldogs don't have any of those players. And then Damien Cook did it again in the second half. I mean, they found themselves getting back into the game, but then, you know, when you've got talented guys like that that can just take opportunities and then convert them, it just splits the game open, and that's what brings the frustration for the Bulldogs. And he did it twice. I think I said it during the call yesterday. I think Cody Walker knows what Damien Cook's doing before Damien Cook does. That combination, not just on the two try assists, but just throughout the game, as soon as he goes, Cody Walker comes from that left side and just zeroes in on spaces in the middle, and he holds that middle to account in the opposition all the time. And he might only get through, you know, two or three times, but he's doing it eight or nine times. South Sydney, they're humming along really nicely at the moment.
They may be missing Cody Walker next week. What happened? Is he been cited?
Yeah, he's been charged. He faces 1 to 2 matches for that forearm drop on the back of Nick Meaney's head. One match with an early guilty plea, two if he fights it and loses at the judiciary. I imagine they'll take the early guilty plea. And Callum Atungi looks like he'll miss the game as well, because he's facing 2 to 3 weeks for the crusher tackle on... I can't remember, it was on off the top of my head. So they could be short next week. They've got Brisbane on Thursday night, Wayne against Kevy. So they should win that game regardless, I would imagine, given the way the Broncos are travelling.
Yeah. Adam Reynolds, where he's going? Is he going? Is he being offered more than 1 year at South Sydney? Why aren't they offering more than 1 year at South Sydney? What's the latest?
So we'll know early next week about Adam Reynolds, whether he stays at South or not. They've got a meeting South Sydney with his management. I assume, Adam, early next week. I believe it's going to be around Tuesday. And at that meeting, basically, they'll formulate a final position on whether they give him 1 or 2 years. Look, I thought midway through yesterday's game, I thought, look, it'll be 1 year and they won't budge. But I got the sense afterwards that maybe they're trying to find some wriggle room. Look, their issue is salary cap. I quoted Blake Solid today, actually, in my column on the situation. He said basically it's purely a salary cap decision, because they've got Cody Walker off contract in a year's time. They want to keep him. They're going to have to probably upgrade him a little bit. He's on a pretty good deal now, Cody Walker, to be fair.
But how old's Cody now? He's 31,
isn't he? He's 31, yeah.
Blake Bloomer.
They've got some, you know, they've re-signed a lot of blokes: Campbell Graham, Cam Murray, Damien Cook, Liam Knight, to be the Totola, Latrell Mitchell, all on big money as well. So the issue is the salary cap one. They've got to try and work out whether they're going to have enough room to give Adam Reynolds 2 years. At this stage, look, I think they're wavering a little bit. I thought they wouldn't give it to him. I thought it'd be 1 year. I think the next couple of days are going to be crucial. I think South will have internal talks over what they do. Then they'll meet Adam and his management probably around Tuesday, and they'll put forward a final position. And if it's only 1 year, I think that'll give the Cowboys the green light to come in and give him a big deal, potentially a three-year deal.
Do you think he would, given he wants 3 years, but would he accept two at South?
I think he would accept two at South. I think he would.
It seems odd, though, still to me, from the outside, that he hasn't been offered to. I mean, does he have a history of injuries or not? I mean, what is he, 31?
31,
in fact, the opposite. A lot of people think he's injury-prone, but he's very resilient for a halfback, and he kicks at 90%. I'm with you, Tone. I thought it was a fail. You know, I thought it was basically he signed the dotted line, but I don't know what he'd be on at the moment. Rudy, what'd he be on at the moment?
He's on a million.
A million.
He's in the final year of a long-term deal. The last year paid him, it was between 900 and a million. So he's their highest paid player this year.
How do they live on that?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, he's going to have to take a pay cut to stay regardless.
Yeah.
And I think, look, South, they can give him 1 year on good money. It wouldn't be the million he's on now, but it'd be decent money. I think the issue is they don't want to be disrespectful to him either and offer him $300,000 for the year after, because, I mean, you've got to pay the bloke a bit of respect and pay him what he's worth. But and as I said, they've got real issues with their cap because they've got a lot of good players there, and you can't keep them all. And at some point, you've got to make a call. Now, maybe it comes down to whether they keep Cody Walker or Adam Reynolds. Well, they've got guys who can play the Adam Reynolds type role coming through. And Lachlan Ilias played SG Ball in the curtain raiser at the weekend, kicked the goal to push it in to square the score, and then kicked the field goal to win the game for them. You know, he's a game managing type halfback I'm not 100% sure about what role he plays, but I imagine he's a bit like an Adam Reynolds type footballer. And then you've got Cody to play that running 5'8 role. So, it's all about, succession planning as well. They've got to get the succession plan right, and they can't afford to lose the next Adam Reynolds. So that's a dilemma they're facing at the moment.
In terms of the Cowboys and the halfback situation, what's the Michael Morgan situation with his health?
Everyone's saying privately that Michael won't play again. Publicly, they haven't come out and said that because they're obviously being respectful to Michael Morgan. He's a really well-respected player and person at that club. And they've got to, before you come out and medically retire someone, you've got to work out, he's owed 2 more years, it's $1 million a year, it's over $2 million he's owed if you include this year. You've got to work out a way that you can pay, because they've got to pay him that amount, even if they medically retire him. Now, it can come off the salary cap, but you've still got to pay him. It's got to be on you. It's like Sam Burgess, right? They're paying, Souths are paying Sam, I think, over 10 years. He was owed $3 million. It's not on their cap, but you've still got to pay him. It's still on your bottom line. So there's a lot of things they've got to work out with Michael before there's an official position, public position with him on his future. So they're working through that now.
All right. And Moses Mbai has been told he can chat with other clubs. He spoke during the week. Here's what he had to say.
I'm really keen to be a part of it this year, but I just think going forward, I've been here for a while now, and purely an opportunity for myself to grow and myself to preserve my career and play for a little bit longer. I literally just asked for the club's blessing and didn't want to disrespect anyone and just see where they're at with it. And the club's been great about it. The club agreed with me and they offered me the blessing to have a look at another club and see if there is opportunity for 22 and beyond. And if nothing arises, then I'll be at the Tigers. I came to this club as a marquee signing, and in patches I've been able to do that, play to those standards, and in patches I haven't. And we've got some great young players coming through, and the last thing you want to be doing is obstructing where this great club's going to go, where it's going.
He's been honest, Gerds, there about being signed as a marquee player, and hasn't done it 100%.
Very honest, hasn't he, Tone? Yeah. And the hardest thing, and we spoke about it the other night with MG, it's just don't know where to put him. You sign a marquee player. Marquee players generally aren't 14s. And I think Moses is basically, his best position is to come on and cover those key areas, and it's a valuable position.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong, but I probably think if he's going to go somewhere and start, he's probably best position in a good side is centre. He's played a little bit of origin there, but I can't see him playing 7 or 6, 9 or I don't think, I think he's days at fullback are numbered as well. So, it looks like he's got the best interests of the club at heart, and certainly he wants to develop and roll the dice a little bit, and you have to admire that attitude.
Good to see a club and player finally being amicable. It's so much of is one-sided these days where the player wants to leave or the club wants to get rid of the player, but this seems very amicable, and it's good to see that Tigers said, okay, mate, you can have a look elsewhere. If you find something, great. If not, we're here. So I love this. I reckon it's fantastic.
If I'm Moses Mbai, I'm either staying and serving out the final year or I'm finding a club for 1 year, because he would seem to me the perfect bloke if we're going to expand it in southeast Queensland. He's a Queenslander. He's a really well-respected guy. He's a great face of a club. He would be perfect for an expansion team in southeast Queensland.
Where would you play him up, Rudy? What position?
We'd find a position for him somewhere because I think he's the sort of guy that an expansion club, he'd be really good for an expansion. He's that sort of guy, and he's a Queenslander. You know, bring him home, and he'll get a good deal in a year's time out of a 17 team in southeast Queensland. I would think he would. I don't know where you play him. I think his perfect position's 14, but you don't pay mega money for 14s.
All right, indeed. All right, we're just going to backpedal for a second.
So you've got him playing for a team that doesn't exist, Rudy.
Yes.
You'd be happy to hear that.
He's on imaginary money as well.
He's sending him back to Queensland, baby.
Wait till June, July. Wait for a decision on expansion and then work out what you're going to do.
Mate, you can already be captain of that team that doesn't exist.
That's right.
And the goal kicker.
We are going backwards just for a second back to Adam Reynolds because Damien has given us a call. G'day, mate.
Hello. Hello. Fellas, loving the show.
Thank you. What are your thoughts on Adam Reynolds?
I think the I declare I'm a mad Bunnies fan and a member, and I think the club's missing two important points here. They're missing the kind of the respect and love the Rabbitohs fans have for Adam, and I actually think people will stop wearing their Bunnies caps around town for a little while if they don't sort Adam out. That's one point. The second point is this is their best chance at a premiership, and it's something like this can destabilise the team.
Yeah, good
so
point.
I think Wayne would be furious that this hasn't been resolved. I understand Wayne doesn't have a say in it because he's leaving, but Wayne's obviously given up the state of origin to get a premiership this year, and I think the South Sydney club really need to sort this out and give him 2 years.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, it's just hard because no one really understands the machinations of their salary cap, and it's all well and good to come out and say from an emotional perspective, we want Adam Reynolds to stay and we need to pay him whatever it takes to win the year. But next year, you know, I mean, they all have like a 5-year plan and they need to make sure that their salary cap's in order moving forward. They've got young guys coming through that they need to make sure that they look after, and they need to take, to some degree, the emotion out of that business decision to keep their cap where it needs to be.
That's true.
They need to balance
nice
that out.
To have the fans saying what they want.
Well, the fans have been able to come in and they spoke when Alex Johnston was going to leave, and they showed, you know, how important it was to the fan base that he stayed, and the club listened on that occasion. But, I mean, sometimes they're running a business and they need to do what's in the best interest, not just of the fans but of the team in the long run. And, you know?
Yep.
They can't keep them all.
Didn't he play?
Good point Adam made about the stabilising the year. Say next week they say, mate, 1 year. Imagine what's going to happen behind the scenes then. He'll be unhappy. He won't be putting, you know, like the effort will be there, but you got to make the, you know, you got to give him 2 years. Sure.
I think as long as they get it done early, MG, you know what it's like, how hard it is and how many opportunities you get to have a real shake at the title. Now, they would be smelling that at South Sydney. Yep. Now, if they can get this nipped in the bud, regardless of whether it's 1 or 2 years over the next couple of weeks, they've got a group that are just going to push on, and I don't think it'll affect Adam's performance from a professional level.
Tyson Frisell was leaving the Dragons end of last year and didn't affect the Dragons' performance at all through the year.
Didn't he play up to it, Adam, by kissing the jersey?
It's great theatre, huh?
Exactly.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.